Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the US Week here on Simcast. This, of course, is the show where we occasionally talk about sim racing news, but mostly we go off topic for, you know, half the show, and then we somehow manage to bring it back together and actually give people some useful information. I am Ben Williams, of course, and joining me is Sebring's local zebra botherer, if you ask, Turner Motorsports, Mr. Louis Satterley. How are you doing this evening, Louis?
I'm still on Sebring hangover, but I'm doing good.
Again, I have to thank Turner Motorsports for introducing that into the show's canon, I guess you can say. So now every time we mention Louis, all I can think about is zebra botherer.
Yeah, that was a nice back and forth that I had with him out in line.
Mm-hmm.
And then bothered him again about it whenever I saw the car on track. And then, of course, they do the whole pics or it didn't happen. And I was like, you just wanted pictures, but I'll play your game.
How was Sebring for you, Louie?
Oh, it was fantastic, as always. Whole bunch of firsts, as well as we were first in line. And actually, for the first time ever, our campsite was first in line. And we got first, second, third, and fifth in line. So...
nice.
That was...
you rounded up the podium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think our t-shirt idea for our campsite next year, we're going to steal the idea from Porsche to where it's going to be first, second, third.
Oh, yeah.
Shows our campsite names, and then fourth would be turn 10.5 is what they claim to be, and then fifth would be our campsite again, and then right below that it'll say nobody's perfect.
Yep. One of these days, I'll eventually get to an event like that.
Anybody who's out there as a listener, yes, the Rolex 24 is a big event and it's not one to be missed, but if you really want a genuine experience and the one that everybody constantly keeps coming back to, it's Sebring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, going back to the whole Turner Motorsports thing, you can follow us on Twitter at the Simcast Radio, hashtag SimcastRSL, if you want to be kept in the loop about our crazy happenings and some news that occasionally we don't talk about on the show, but we'll like tweet it out or retweet something along those lines. Of course, all four of us here at the show are also on the Midweek Motorsports Collective as well. So, without further ado, shall we get started, Louis?
I thought we already had, but yeah, let's go for real, I guess.
Yeah. We're going to, first off, we're going to talk about iRacing because they dropped that pretty substantially sized news yesterday. iRacing have made a fictional street circuit, and I'll explain why I'm putting air quotes around that, which, of course, this is an audio production.
Yes, because
so you
they can't
see
what
doing,
you're doing.
Right? iRacing has made a fictional street circuit based in Chicago, which I thought was pretty cool, that will be coming to the sim soon. The circuit uses real locations and roads, but currently there are no plans for this to be used in real life, despite the whatever Fox says, because apparently, before we got on the show tonight, Christian Gomez, who's been on the show before, said, and I quote, Fox last night heavily... suggested that it's going to be a thing eventually. So we don't have any dates of when this is going to be coming out, but we do know it will be used as part of the upcoming eNASCAR Pro Invitational Series that started last night, which unfortunately, just because of timing, we're not going to be able to talk about today, unfortunately. They've included some onboard of this street circuit, and it looks quite interesting. Did you get a chance to look at that, Louis?
I have not. I'm going to go ahead and take a look at it now while we're discussing. Actually, I just happened to see that as you were mentioning it.
Yeah.
So let's see.
So
we're on a highway here, obviously.
Yeah. NASCAR and iRacing have kind of offered up a map. It's a 12. If I can read, it's a 2.9 mile circuit or 3.52 kilometers. It has 12 turns. If you're more familiar with the Chicago area than I am, it's right near Butler Field and Hutchinson Field, also by the Art Institute of Chicago. Taking the circuit more or less is kind of around Hutchinson Field, excuse me, and the front street actually goes right past Buckingham Fountain. Pronounce things correctly eventually.
Well, you know what this is actually reminding me of, and I read this article 2 or 3 years ago, but actually in the middle of Soldier Field, long before NFL got its popularity, they used to do oval racing in Soldier Field.
Hmm.
Right in the middle of downtown Chicago.
Yeah. Something that I forgot to mention is that it will be the June 2nd race for the Invitational Series, so we'll probably get it around season three, update for iRacing. So a couple months from now, taking
it's
part.
It's not a bad looking layout, actually.
Yeah, it covers most of Lakeshore Drive and Michigan Avenue and Columbus Avenue in Chicago. So
I'd be more curious to see how the circuit's going to look whenever they beautify the buildings, because right now they're just gray,
they're very basic
blobs
now.
Yeah,
but the track looks more or less done, and it's bumpy. Like, we're talking Sebring bumpy here.
Well, they did laser scan it, so.
They did laser scan it. At one point during that lap, I did notice that the car basically, the rear jumped, slipped to the left, and landed. So, hopefully, that's not going to cause too many issues during the middle of a race.
Well, I love somebody's, the very first comment underneath Twitter there. Can't be Chicago, not enough potholes and road tolls.
Well, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah. Still rather funny.
Yeah. It's a very interesting little circuit that they have. It's very boxy, I guess the word you want to look at if you haven't seen
most
it
most street circuits are.
Yeah. I guess when I, because of the street circuit I'm most familiar with is Long Beach, I don't really associate that as being boxy, just because, you know, that stupid glass corner. But
it's just the equivalent of doing a 180 on a regular highway, or in a very tight median.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely something really interesting that they're doing. Of course, whenever there is a fantasy track, people tend to get bent out of shape. Why are you putting a fantasy track in a sim? Do you have an opinion about this, Lewis, or do you think it's just cool to add stuff like that?
The way they did it, I think, is absolutely cool. They took the actual laser scan of what the actual road is, and they turned a racetrack out of it.
See, I agree with that. It's fantasy, but it's fantasy based in reality.
Yeah.
Kind of like how the Laura IR, or whatever it is, the open wheel fantasy car that they brought out a couple months ago, that it's based in reality. It's not built yet, but it could be.
Right.
Eventually. Somewhere down the road. Yeah, apparently NASCAR was in talks last year with LA and Chicago about a street course, so
I would say Chicago is the better choice.
Yeah. And with Chicagoland and what's the other oval that's near there? I don't remember.
So there used to be an oval right in the middle of downtown there that was not the Soldier Field one. I can't remember what the name of it was.
I'm trying to remember.
But it was pretty much a flat, almost paperclip-like circuit.
Yeah.
I think it was a mile and a half.
Yeah. I might be thinking about
Chicago World, I want to say.
I might be thinking about someone mentioned Auto Club. In our, my offspring.
No, Auto Club is California.
LA. Yeah, so. Yeah, it's definitely it's definitely something interesting that I would suspect, just because of everything else that's going on the periphery of the story, that we'll see a street course in Chicago for the Cup Series sometime in the near future. Probably with the next gen car, because I don't think the current gen would do well in a street course.
Yeah.
Would do that well, since by all description, the next gen is basically a V8 supercar. And that's basically all the V8 supercars does.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Well, make sure to share the video again.
No, that's what it was. It's just Chicago Motor Speedway is all it was.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll make sure to retweet the video on the lap if you haven't seen it yet. Just check out Simcast, or the hashtag SimcastRSL, and we'll be there. Moving right along. R Factor 2 news. Gooby, do you want to take part of this?
Yeah, why not? I could take part in all of it.
Okay.
So, I believe it's the last time, actually, we were on the show 2 weeks ago that we talked about the Drea Grand Prix circuit that was going to be introduced. This is for Formula E. Mm-hmm. And they also teased that another track was going to be released. Didn't realize it was also going to be another Formula E track, and it's actually the Rome E-Prix circuit.
Yeah, and they actually released it during the show last week.
Yeah, and I've actually still have not had the chance to give it a try, but according to our other resident sim racer, Jordan, who loves the Formula E stuff on R-Factor 2, he says it's very good, and it rather enjoys it himself, so let's take Jordan for his word, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I cannot put in an opinion otherwise. So, just be devil's advocate. I mean, I could say that it sucked. But I won't, because I didn't do it.
Yeah. Something else I saw came out in R Factor 2, I think it was yesterday, was that they released another stock car. Another version of their stock car.
I'm trying to figure that out, actually, because I looked at it, and I think it's still the same version that they've had, but all they have done is basically given it a skin pack, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. The article,
it's a stock car 2018X, the little brother to the stock car 2018, so that's the caption of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what they say here. The little brother to the stock car 2018, yet still packing an impressive 650 horsepower under the hood, the SC2018X, that's the lowercase x, by the way.
Basically Xfinity cars.
I'm trying to figure that out, because if you look at it, they've gone ahead and give the Toyota Supra headlights on the car, mm-hmm. but they call it a Titan, of course.
Yeah.
You got the Camaro and the Mustang, so I think you could be right on this one.
Yeah.
But they're obviously not calling them Camaro Mustang, because they're giving them out for free, and they're not seeking a profit off of it either. But
and they don't officially have the NASCAR license yet.
That as well, which could very well change. But let's see. Exciting and engaging racing machine that has been built solely to allow drivers the opportunity to race each other hard out on the track. Well, isn't that what we're supposed to do always?
You would think.
I would think, yeah. Okay. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think this is what the equivalent of Xfinity cars would be for the stock car.
If I'm remembering correctly, this is going back to previous conversations about Studio 397 being purchased by Motorsport Games. And the scuttlebutt around that was that Studio 397 would be the next NASCAR game developer. So it would make sense that they're starting to gear up with the different levels of NASCAR racing now. Next thing we know, they're going to be releasing a dirt version of cars, and we're going to start getting super late models.
I was going to say, I'm wondering when the local short track thing's going to happen, if at all. I'm not so sure what local short or local track racing is like at international level, but I mean, at least here in the States, I mean, I don't think you can go 30 minutes without being nearby some local racetrack somewhere.
No, you probably can. I mean, if...
Motorsport, or more so out in the Midwest, but I mean, over here on the East Coast.
Yeah, but if Motorsport Games wants to create a NASCAR platform that can compete with iRacing, they're going to have to look at doing dirt to Daytona style stuff.
Well, dirt and asphalt. I mean, there's all sorts of local short track stuff that we do here in the States, which, by the way, anybody who knows me knows I'm not a fan of NASCAR, but the local short track scene, that is fun stuff to watch. That's good racing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you keep bugging me every time that I mention that I live near Williams Grove and I haven't gone there yet. You get mad.
I do get mad because I only get sprint cars, the World of Outlaw Sprint Car Series. I only get them once a year. This year we got lucky and got twice, but they were within a month of each other. You get the sprint cars, plus you have them on a regular basis with the Pennsylvania Posse up there. You get them upwards about 8 or 9 times a year, and you still don't go.
Yeah, I'm not mentioning the fact that where I camp is also right near a dirt track as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which dirt track. I actually need to look it up. But the last time I was there, this is all pre-COVID, Friday night, all you could hear was just an vroom, vroom, vroom. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. You ever been to an outlaw show or a sprint car show?
I don't believe I have. No, actually, no. No, I haven't. The closest I've gotten to that level is, like, tractor pulls and demolition derbies. That's really
so. I'm going to put it to you this way, and do yourself a favor this year, whether it's a local event where they call themselves the Pennsylvania Posse or it's a World of Outlaw show, go watch them in person, because TV, phone, video, whatever you view it on does not do it justice.
Yeah.
It's something that you fully have to take in.
Yeah, we'll have to see, given that, you know, we're still dealing with COVID. So my state's pretty locked down. I mean, we're barely to 25% capacity at eatery establishments now. So,
as opposed to Florida, which is all the way open.
Yeah, I was going to say, which is opposed to Florida, where, you know, spring break's a thing.
Spring break's a thing, but actually, everybody's pretty well behaved down here. I will say that. And I'm considered one of the hotspot areas, so everybody's pretty well behaved.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Roman Grosjean's R8G Esports team has been getting some popularity as of late, but now they are actually going to be partnering with Haas.
Yes, his former F1 team.
Yes, his former F1 team to actually be the people who actually run for Haas in the F1 Esports series. Which is kind of nice that even as a casual F1 fan who barely knows, like, all the little nitty-gritty things that's in the sport, I the whole, like, oh, we're just not going to sign you, go away, please, thing kind of annoyed me a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a common thing. I don't think it's a common thing. But given that I've been kind of learning a little bit more about the Haas F1 team, that's all I'm going to leave it at.
I'm kind of surprised Grosjean would actually align himself with Haas, especially after the nasty words that Gene expressed about him, that he's not going to fund his IndyCar program because he doesn't want to see him get killed.
Yeah.
So me as a driver, if I hear something like that, I'm just thinking that it's like, oh, well, you don't support what I want to do, sort of thing. So, but all water under the bridge, I guess, here for them, as they seem to be aligned together here on this one. So, but maybe it's just a case where Gene says, like, oh, it's not possible for you to kill yourself on this one. So, yeah, go ahead. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird to me.
I'm just reading down through the article about this. R8G Esports will directly manage Haas's F1 2021 F1 Esports Pro Series campaign, which gets underway later this year. That means it's likely that Haas's team's 2020 driver lineup, Cendric Thome and Simon Wingate, Winnegag, I believe that's how you pronounce it, won't be retained. That's kind of interesting how that's reflecting what we just talked about. Anyway, with Rojan's own squad of nearly 20 drivers probably replacing them with one of his own. Yeah. This is also... Doesn't the F1 Esports have kind of like a draft kind of part of this as well?
I'm not too familiar with how they do it.
Yeah.
I know there's a couple large leagues that are happen on R Factor too, to where they have all the teams that are together, but they'll do a manufacturer draft to where literally it doesn't matter what team you're on. It's not a team choice. It's literally, this is you. We pick a random car that you're going to race for, and this is your car for the season. So that way it's an even split amongst all the different manufacturers that are involved.
Yeah, I read down and actually got an answer. So how it works is that the F1 teams have their selected driver lineup, and then there's a wild card driver that you can choose during the pro draft. So
that's so it's a three-driver team, I guess?
More or less.
That's what it sounds like to me whenever you mention that.
Yeah, that's kind of how it sounds.
This would have to be something that we have to review and research, I think.
Yes. But, you know, we barely do that on the show.
Yeah, we can't do that on the show. Next topic, please, sir.
Yes. Anyway, so if you actually wanted to find out more about the F1 Esports, we'll probably be talking about it as it gets underway later this year. GT Sport.
I hope we're going to talk about it.
Yes. Gran Turismo. We are not talking about yet another delay for Gran Turismo 7. We are talking, though, about GT Sports F1. You say F1 so many times, it gets stuck in your brain.
FIA, well, FI and F1 look similar. So. Yeah.
The FIA World Tour will remain as an online event through 2021. Trying to be responsible. The 2020 FIA GT Sport World Tour suffered the same fate as many series did in 2020. There was some rumors that they'll actually be going on ahead, but this year they have confirmed that 2021 will continue to see the same uncertainty as 2020. So they think that, given how different the reactions and the vaccination stuff, all that funness that we're all doing on a daily basis, is around the world, they think it's just better just to have as an online championship, which, you know, makes sense for them. It keeps their personnel from risk. It keeps all the drivers safe. So I think it's probably,
and nobody has to go into a quarantine because they traveled internationally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The official FIA season world tour is not underway yet, but there's also that there is a current exhibition stage running for the next couple weeks if you want to see how you might stack up. We'll probably get a full announcement about how the season's going to work in early April along those lines whenever they finalize them. So, just a quickie bit of GT Sport news, not a whole lot. Other quickie bit of news is that GTR 3, Matt, probably one of Matt's favorite, what's the word I want to use here? His favorite series, that's the word.
It is a brilliant series, I will say that.
Yeah, just because of his love for GTR2 back in the day.
GTR1 was even really great, actually. GTR1 led up to GTR2, which actually GTR2 took over from the season after that was featured, which I think was 2003.
Something like that.
But they also include 2003 and 2004, because the first season Maserati was introduced.
Yeah.
So they went ahead with that one.
So just a little bit of background on it. Simbin Studios UK, the developer of GTR3, launched a Discord channel just devoted to GTR3. if you're not familiar with how the way Discord works, it's basically Slack for gaming, if that makes sense. Or Microsoft Teams for gaming, if that makes more sense. But anyway, but it also works better. Anyway, just to kind of like promote that GTR 3 is being worked on, kind of get the hype up for it. But a couple of weeks now after that, they've actually gone ahead and closed a Discord channel.
Even a couple of weeks. It's been a couple of months since they've opened that.
Has it been a couple of months?
Yeah, it's been a couple of months.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just not a good scene for them. I mean, it basically became a big old giant meme spam for everybody to have some sort of entertainment on the channel, which it just ended up being completely off topic altogether, and they've just gone ahead and shut it down, which sounds like another start. Well, we're going to do great and stop, and somewhere in the next 2 or 3 years we'll probably hear that, oh, we're starting again.
Yeah. The closing the channel is also followed with a statement that the game will be delayed again. We've been waiting on GTR 3 for several years now, so it's kind of throwing a shadow over, are we actually going to get this thing? Is it actually going to happen?
Well, at one point it was supposed to be the official game for the FIA WEC. And also had some IMSA cars showing, or for screenshots that they had in there as well.
Well,
from 4 or 5 years ago, but
yeah, the WEC thing is now with Motorsport Games.
Yeah.
And we've seen screenshots of it that look good. It's just that, you know, probably delays because of, you know, all the other reasons that we've all been having delays for the last couple months and for over a year now. Yeah.
Happy anniversary for 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
It's just been a hard year for game developer and just for studios in general. I'm just going to quickly glance through their official statement. They say, we know that this will be disappointing, but believe it's for the best and most honest thing to do. We want to thank everyone who has joined the community and followed our social channels while we sincerely apologize for another false start. Work on the project will continue behind the scenes, but for now, there will be no more empty promises, no more optimistic statements. We know we've let you down, not just once, but more than one occasion over the years. The drive to make GTR 3 has been real. We all want to make something worthy of the GTR name, and that desire is still there. The development team has worked hard and made genuine progress. Unfortunately, a combination of issues has hindered delivery. The problem has been compromised with over-optimistic communications, but as gaming history shows, optimism does not deliver results.
So. Well, they mentioned a false start, so isn't that so many false starts that you get? It's an official disqualification?
I don't think it works the same as football.
No, I was talking about race.
American football.
No, I was talking about a false Grand Prix start where, you know, you just...
Oh. I don't know why, but I immediately went to NFL. False start on the offense. 15-yard penalty. Repeat first down.
Yeah.
Anyway. There is good news from this, though. Simbin says they now partner with the KW Automotive Group.
They were part of them whenever they did their game GTR Evolution.
Yeah. And they also are going to be kind of like, their words were, sit alongside Spectre 3 Studios, which is the team behind Race Room. I'm not sure what that means. KW has a rich heritage in motorsports and brings real-world knowledge to the table, supporting teams in top-of-the-line series the world over. The Race Room Studio has produced an amazing array of content. Yeah, we've all done all this, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so definitely a disappointing yet another delay. I'm sure Matt will comment on this next week.
I'm starting to wonder, actually, if this is just the final flag being raised that they actually give up, but they're trying to make it sound like that it's still coming. Try to give people some sort of hope, because they don't want to fully let go of the fact that it could be actually gone.
Well,
not to sound cynical, but
yeah, I know, but
with how many delays that they've done and how long we went without ever hearing anything, and then all of a sudden, hey, we're coming back. This is our new screenshots. By the way, we're closing down in 3 months.
Mm.
And it's not the first time it's happened, so that's why I'm...
Yeah. Well,
yeah. As someone, I hate trying to sound so negative all the time.
Yeah. As someone who does run a community league on Forza, who were still greatly anticipating news about the next Forza title, I kind of don't want to, like, condemn another studio for not giving us more information, but, you know, I condemn Turn 10 enough as it is on this show.
Well, I was going to say, it would be one thing if they come out and says, like, hey, this is what we're working on. And then not say... It wouldn't actually be the worst thing ever if they did not say, nothing new is coming out anytime soon. We will keep you updated in the distant future, not in the near future. Keeping an eye on this spot. And then nothing happens.
You see, that's not how PR works, Lewis.
I understand that, but... At the same time, it wouldn't put you in a situation like this where you have to go back on your own word.
Yeah.
So.
No. All they can do is just, you know, ban people for speculating.
Yeah. It's easier to do, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway. So, maybe pour one out for GTR 3? I don't know. What are your guys' opinion? Tweet us at Simcast Radio, use the hashtag SimcastRSL. Do you think GTR 3 is actually going to happen, or do you think that it's best just to put the final nail in the coffin and move on?
Or do you think it's actually going to happen, and we're just overlooking and overanalyzing?
Which is a very possibility. Anyway, since we just mentioned Spectre 3 Studios, there was a Race Room update this week.
No, was there?
Yes. Plenty of different changes. We'll just go through a couple of them. There are some nice new GT cars that we get.
Shiny?
Shiny, very shiny. excuse me. And you have to correct me. It's the GT2 M3 that I've become so familiar with on Forza. And I believe that's the Saleem car from the same time period.
The what Saleem?
The Saleem S7.
That was a GT1 car.
It's a GT1 car. Oh, excuse me.
And actually, that one was a little ways ahead, but it was probably one of the oldest served GT1 cars, actually. Because it came out about the same time that Maserati did as well.
Mm-hmm.
Early 2000s.
Yeah. Just looking through a couple other of the update notes, see if there's anything as hilarious as fixing, you know, holes in the ground. I'm not seeing anything really worth noting. The McGann TCR has new cockpit sounds, for those who care.
Sounds more like a coffee can now.
Yes. Mid-Ohio, fixed rolling starts that were starting too close to the start line. Spa. Attempts at improving on AI traffic jams noticed in the GT pit lane entrance.
Hmm.
That sounds like there was literally a pile-up trying to get into the pit all at the same time. Potentially.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's all various little
a hot fix, effectively.
Yeah, it's a hot fix. So it's tweaking things here and there, like for GTR 3, not the game we just talked about, their version of GT 3, all cars. High speed damper fine tuning and adjusting of some mechanical trail values to reduce excessive steering forces. stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. Staying in the kind of the same vein, hot fix for Assetto Corsa, Competizione. Minor balancing tweaks to a couple of the GT3 cars, at various tracks. Oh, fixed checkered flag marshal at Paul Ricard waving flag prematurely at race finish. Well, that doesn't sound good.
False finish.
Yeah. For those who care about custom liveries, they have added British GT window screen banners options for all custom cars, and they fixed the British GT number plate layout on the 570S custom liveries.
Hmm.
Yeah. Other than that, nothing really spectacular worth mentioning. Anyway. There was also a hot fix for F1 2020, which probably will be replaced with F1 2021 within the next 3 months or so.
Well, that's what they tried to do last year, which they claimed COVID was able to help them speed up the process. One of those particular stories.
Yeah.
Supposed to everyone else say that COVID slowed them down, so it's either one or the other.
Yes.
Nobody's normal anymore.
Well, welcome to 2020 and 2021. Nothing's normal.
I'm saying it's either ahead or it's behind. It's never right on the same track.
Yeah. Looks like they're pretty normal fixes. Addressed an issue with count back and declaring a winner when finish a world championship on the same points as another driver.
Wait, say that one more time?
Addressed an issue with count back and declaring a winner when finish a world championship on the same points as another driver.
Okay. Albeit incredibly rare, even on video games, but okay. Good on that.
Apparently, it's something that can happen that they feel like they needed to adjust.
Right.
Addressed an issue where incorrect message could be displayed when overtaken in the safety car queue. I did read that right. Fixed an issue where blue flags could be shown to all players if someone quit and rejoined on the formation lap. Well, that's not good.
No.
Considering it's F1, and if you don't respect the blue flag in 3 laps, then they DQ you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, just a quick...
And then there's that.
Couple of quickie updates. For things... Moving on to the esports roundup of the week.
Dun dun dun.
Ooh, excuse me.
Eat more tacos.
Yes, eat more tacos. esports roundup of the week brought to you by Eat More Tacos. Eat more tacos. They're good for you.
Well, it was Taco Tuesday at Tijuana Flash the other day.
Since you are the more IndyCar inclined than the two of us, would you like to talk about the IndyCar iRacing Challenge?
IndyCar more inclined.
Yes.
I resemble that remark, sir. Yeah, I can do it. All right, okay. So... awkward silence out of the way. Anyways, the first of three Indy... Let's start over again right away. That's one into the mess-up jar there. The first of three races in the IndyCar iRacing Pro Challenge took place at Gilles Villeneuve, Montreal, Canada. Chip Ganassi Racing's latest recruit, Alex Palou, a keen iRacer, I see in parentheses here, so I'm going to take the word for that one on that one, would take pole position ahead of Scott McLaughlin from Down Under. Palou would lead early, but McLaughlin would undercut him during the During the mandatory pit stop at the halfway point, Palou would rejoin the race on the gearbox of McLaughlin's Penske and would soon make his way by. He held his car around the outside of turn one. Wow, that's rather impressive there. Seeing how it's a short 90 to the left. To get inside for turn two, which is a 980 back the other way, with the pair making contact at the apex, which would send McLaughlin off into the grass. That's a big no-no. From there, Pelot would cruise to victory. He would take the win by just over 3 seconds, with McLaughlin falling behind Road to Indy driver Braden Eaves before the finish. Eaves would take second, with McLaughlin completing the podium. James Davison took the fight to McLaughlin early, but would come home fourth ahead of Sage Karam. Pietro Fittipaldi took sixth, with R.C. Enerson seventh for the Top Gun Racing Team. Takuma Sato, Marcus Ericsson, and Nikita Lastoshkin. That's the first time I've actually ever seen that name. So I somehow managed to pronounce that one right. I'm not putting a dollar in that there jar bin, so don't even try. Completing the top 10, Grosjean had been running solidly inside the top 10 early on, but a couple of spins saw him finish 13th. And the iRacing, the IndyCar iRacing Challenge will continue with round 2 a few hours after the show tonight at Homestead Miami Speedway, where Jordan and Matt will give you the update on that next week.
Yes. So, next up on our list is the Formula E Accelerate Championship. Round 5 of the championship took place at R Factor's fictional track, the Electric Docks. Not to be confused with the Electric Boogaloo. Championship. Championship contenders Frederik Rasmussen. Things moved around on the page for a second. And Ethan Jovel.
That's Aaron.
That's, huh? Aaron?
Aaron Yajowski. Yeah.
Aaron Yajowski, okay.
There's no T in that name there, buddy.
There is no T in there. Anyway, qualified on the front row. Yajowski would take the lead to the run down to the turn one chicane and would slowly stretch his legs throughout the course of the race. He wouldn't be really challenged for the rest of the event and would go on to take victory for Venturi, his third of the season so far. Robson would run second until the penultimate lap where he was overtaken by Nico Dem. I'm going to make sure I pronounce this correctly. Wisvensky. I believe that's correct.
Count it.
Yeah. Nico Dem would take second, with Rossman completing the podium.
I think Jordan does this to us on purpose.
He does. Romans Haver Hoorzig, I believe, took
Horsing.
Fourth. Huh?
Horsing.
Yeah, I see that now. Would take fourth ahead of the F1 Esports champion
Jarno Opmeer.
Jarno Opmeer. Of course, I get the ones with all the really hard names. Martin Stefanko, and Jan van der Jan van der Heide would be hind in 6th and 7th, with Manuel. Oh, good grief. Manuel Baikonolia? Sure. Come up. Bezinski and Kevin Spigley completing the top 10. A disaster for Spigley, who was in the title hunt previously. The Formula E Accelerate season finale will take place at a week's time, with a doubleheader, double points events at the newly released Rome Grand Prix circuit. Jovoski will enter the finale with a 26-point lead over Rossman.
Okay, so anybody who's playing the home game, that's a grand total of $26 that Ben will have to add to the mispronounced name jar.
The mispronounced name jar is too full at this point. You can't put any more in it.
No, I went ahead and finished up the pickle jar, so I transferred it over.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on, the eNASCAR Pro Invitational Series will have its season opener at Bristol Dirt last night. However, as I said at the beginning of the show, we're not going to be able to really talk about what happened on the show just because Lewis and I haven't gotten a chance to see it. And
we're not going to deny Jordan a chance to talk about his favorite thing in the world.
That too. We are going to talk about a little bit of some drama that occurred before the event.
Drama, huh?
Yes.
From Wisconsin now?
Yes.
Get away from that drama.
There was a little bit of backlash prior to the event as retired drivers like Quint Boyer and Junior were invited, but Timmy Hill was the only series regular not to be invited, considering that Timmy Hill won Pro Invitational. He won a Pro Invitational race last year. You would think that he would be invited. Apparently he wasn't. The situation was resolved when Austin Cindric, who was supposed to be driving Brad Suzuki's number two, voluntarily stepped aside so that Hill could jump into the number two Penske car. So, considering that it's Bristol on dirt without seeing the race yet, I'm foreseeing that this is probably not going to go well. Anyway, just a quick mention of the British GT Esports Championship that we talked about pretty extensively, the format and everything. That got out of the way on Sunday evening at Alton Park. Angus Fender, friend of the show, would actually manage to take pole in the GT3 class for Century Motorsport and led for most of the race with 20 minutes to go. James Baldwin, a.k.a. World's Fastest Gamer, would take the lead after a good fight and would go on to cross the line to take a checkered flag first. However, Baldwin would be awarded a 30-second time penalty after the race, handing the victory to our friend Angus Fender.
And there was yes, and hello, listening. Angus. We know you are listening.
Yes. Baldwin would hold on to second with Joni Fannin completing the podium. And the GT4 class, which is the open class that you can qualify for by setting the fastest laps. This basically all esports driver. Luca Burke would take pole position in his Porsche Cayman. He would go on to take victory with Meissen Malinowski, I'm going to say, and Nils Naujoks completing the podium. The series will continue this weekend on Sunday at Snetterton.
Oh, man, I love it. So, dear listener, anybody who knows, whenever we go over the race reviews here, Jordan writes these up for us so we can try to read word for word. Doesn't always work out that way. And inside of Message Malinowski's last name, in parentheses after that, instead of giving us pronunciation, Jordan has literally put, "I have no idea. Good luck."
So helpful. Yeah. We can't give Jordan too much crap for writing these for us.
No, he does a wonderful job on them. We just tend to butcher them.
Yes. Blame the American educational system. Or education, I should say.
Hooked on phonics really worked for me.
Mm-hmm. So, that then brings us to another mispronounced and probably making it much more difficult for myself than I need to, esports update of the week. Lewis, do you have any topics that you want to talk about for the rest of the show?
Yeah, since last time we've discussed about it, Ride 4 has actually had two new packs that have come out within 5 days, all while I was down in the beautiful sunny south of Florida. At Sebring there, they've had the 600cc Passion and, sorry, the 600cc Passion pack. Sorry, I was trying to read the description at the same time. Passion, I had the word pack? In there as well. Yeah, 600cc Passion is the name of the pack.
Okay.
So inside of that, we have the 2018 Honda CBR600R. And we have that also in the street version. We also have the 2008 Kawasaki ZX6R race and road version. And I believe there's an MV Angusta in that one as well. So there was that one, and we've also had the bonus pack 6, which just basically added 10 events inside of the game for the career mode, and one extra track. And the one extra track, of course, in the description doesn't exactly tell you what it is. Oh, yes, it does. Ulster GP.
I'm not seeing the passion.
That was actually part of the bonus pack on that one.
Yes, but why is it called the passion pack? I'm not seeing passion here.
Because of that was a different pack. That was all the 600 different CC bikes. 5 exclusive ones.
But
which I already went over.
Yes, but why is it called the Passion Pack?
Because it's... I don't know, man. I don't name these things. I mean, why is air called air, man? Why is the sky called blue?
The sky's not called blue. The sky is called the sky.
Okay, it's also called the sky, but why is blue called blue? I mean, why are you called Ben? Because somebody named it that way. And you. Anyways, the other bike that we left out on that one actually is the 2009 Suzuki GSX R600. And that is just a road-going bike on that one. So that also added 10 extra events inside of the career mode on that. Are you done critiquing me on why things are called what?
Oh, I'll think of something.
Okay, I bet you will. Yeah. So, and let's go ahead and do our typical free DLC out of the R-Factor realm, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Let's go ahead and get over to our menu. And actually, one just released today is Vintage Formula V 2.0. I didn't even know there was a 1.0, to be honest, but hey-ho. Anybody who is not familiar with what Formula V is, basically it is a very small open-wheel car with a Volkswagen engine thrown in the back.
So how slow is it?
It's pretty slow, but they provide some pretty good entertaining racing. There's no downforce whatsoever to be accounted for on these cars. So it's literally just slicks and open wheel. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah, quite exhilarating on that one. Mm-hmm. And of course, as we talked about earlier, the stock car 2018X, that is basically your nationwide series car. And I don't know why, but this is acting up on me here. Let's try reloading the page, because I keep getting a black screen.
Well, that's not ideal.
Yeah, that was very helpful, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm still getting it, too. Okay, well, we'll have to do it the hard way. And try to just guess on this one. Let's see, as we scroll down here on most recents, if I could try to get it to load, because now I'm running out of space there. There was a couple of Group C cars that were uploaded. One of them was an Alba. And it basically gives back to the early 80s of Group C, so it's obviously a C2 car, or Camel Lights, as we called it over here in the States. And there was another car that was also released with it, which unfortunately Steam does not want to cooperate at the moment, so I couldn't tell you what the name of the vehicle is. But there was two of them involved there, and I've actually driven both of them. They are quite good handling machines. Hey, there it goes. And the other one was a Rondeau, actually. So that is a Le Mans winning car of the time. And let's see what else came in there. The Bikemeki racetrack, which you do that, you clean it up. Looks like it's a touring car circuit, so that is a circuit that you can add on to your DLC out there. And let's see what else. 208 GTI Cup as well, so that's a free car with a bunch of good liveries involved on that. And that is all I pretty much got for bits and bobs, end of the show stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Ben?
I do have one other piece of sim racing news that I almost forgot to mention. We haven't talked about everyone's favorite shed-dwelling sim racer, Jimmy Broadbent, yet, but we have a reason now. Back in February, he, of course, announced his partnership with Praga, and he'll be driving a Praga R1 in this season of the Brit Car Endurance Championship. Well, because of COVID, the Motorsports UK has actually suspended all organizing permits and certifications of exemption until the end of April. So this means that basically their entire guest lineup, including Jimmy, would have to wait another month to actually get started in the Brit Car Championship.
Justice for Jimmy.
Yeah. However, Praga Car has now announced that there will be an esports event to commit to... Why am I blanking on how to pronounce this word? Now I'm paranoid.
Because you've mispronounced everybody's name already tonight.
Yes. esports events to... Wow, I am having such a mental block right now. To commemorate the postponed...
There we go.
Yeah. Postponed round one of the British... Or the Brit Car Championship. The one-off esports race utilizing the popular Assetto Corsa platform will take place exactly the time and date of the planned Brit Car Round 1 on March 27th. So, this Saturday. the racers will include sim racing stars like Jimmy Broadband, transgender activist and racing pride ambassador Charlie Martin, the 2020 Brit Car Endurance Championship Class 1 runner-up Jack Famby, Roman Grosjean's RAG Esports, another one of the showing talking about them. Driver Thomas Sabia, supercar driver Miles Lacy, Praga engineer Thomas Sedback, Praga Cars UK's Sam Holman, and Caffeine and Machines' Phil McGovern. The race will be held in collaboration with Race Department, who we've talked about on the show before, to be able to host it, and will be broadcast, can be viewed on Praga's YouTube channel. It will be a doubleheader to race format, comprising of a 15-minute sprint and a longer 30-minute race feature, designed to mimic the sense that drivers would typically expect when sharing the cockpit with their real-life teammates. So, the broadcast with commentary provided by established sim racing commentators Paul Jeffy and Jack Elipent, I'm going to say, will begin at 1 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, as the drivers will take the track at Silverstone, where the rescheduled season opener will take place on the 23rd to 24th. So, if you're available around 1 p.m., maybe you're not taking part in iRacing's Sebring 12-hour this weekend, maybe that's something that you could check out. I believe that actually does it for this week's show.
If that is the case, that has been Bean Will Iams, and I have been Lois Statterly.
Yes, continue to make fun of my speech impediment. yeah.
Sorry, buddy. Had to throw you under the bus a little bit. You're struggling with all names tonight.
I have tire treads on my back right now, Lewis. Thank you.
that was a pretty harsh body slam.
It was.
I'm sorry. I meant it in all good fun.
Anyway, so Matt and Jordan will be back next week to talk about more sim racing stuff. They'll be talking about the NASCAR Pro Invitational, just because, again, we didn't want to deprive Jordan of being able to talk about NASCAR, since he actually likes NASCAR more than both of us.
That's bizarre, of all things.
Take that information with you, of what you may. That does it for this week. I've been Ben. He's been Lewis. Hopefully he didn't bother a zebra during the show.
No zebras were harmed in this show. Eat more tacos.
Yes, eat more tacos. Everyone stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Wear your masks. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.